now post time.
And welcome to this week's Thoroughbred Daily News podcast brought to you by TaylorMade. I'm your host, Bill Finley, and our guest this week is Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith, who is fresh off a stirring victory aboard Arrowgate in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He's not only winning races in droves, he's defying the aging process, as he's proven you can be at peak form at age 51. We'll be right back with Mike after this message from our friends at TaylorMade.
At TaylorMade, buyers have found more Grade 1 winners, more graded stakes winners, and more Breeders' Cup champions than any other sales agency in the world. What will you find at TaylorMade?
Born in Roswell, New Mexico, and having ridden since he was a 16-year-old trying to break in at Canterbury Park in Minnesota, Mike Smith no doubt belongs on anyone's list of the top jockeys ever. He's won a Kentucky Derby, a Preakness, and two Belmonts. But there is something about the Breeders' Cup that brings out the very, very best in him. He's won 25 Breeders' Cup races, 10 more than runner-up Jerry Bailey, and he added three more to his total this year as he won not only the Classic, but the Filly and Mare Sprint and the Dirt Mile. Is it any wonder they call him Big Money Mike? Mike, welcome this morning. How are you?
Thank you.
And this is a first for our podcast, and even in some of the interviews I've done, I've interviewed jockeys on horses before, even galloping in the morning. I don't think I've ever interviewed a jockey before who's in the middle of running himself, but Mike Smith, who's obviously very busy with his time, as we speak, is out running at Del Mar to help with his weight and fitness to get ready for today's races. So, Mike, we know how good of runners the horses are that you ride. How good a runner are you?
Oh, I'm not very fast at all, Bill. It takes me a while to get away. to get around here one time.
Well, I bet you're probably better than you think. But anyways, so let's get into what was a riveting and stirring Breeders' Cup for Mike Smith. And we're going to start with a highlight of the weekend, which was, of course, the Breeders' Cup Classic. Listen in.
And they're into the stretch, and California Chrome comes roaring home with Arrowgate coming after him on the outside. A furlong to run. California Chrome put to the test. Arrowgate full out. Can he stick with him? California Chrome. Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He has defeated California Chrome under Mike Smith in his 25th Breeders' Cup score.
A race that none of us will soon forget. And Mike, in all honesty, now that it's a week later, when you woke up Saturday morning, did you really think that Arrowgate could beat California Chrome, the horse that really no one thought was beatable?
Well, you know, Bill, talent-wise, I knew we belonged. I certainly knew we belonged. I mean, he did something at Saratoga and the Travers that no horse has ever done. And I think that was his fifth race at the time. It was just a matter of having the foundation under him be able to compete with California Chrome. And luckily for me, I was riding for one of the greatest of all time in Bob Baffert. He had him ready, man. I tell you, the whole crew, they did a tremendous job getting ready for that race.
No doubt about that. And Mike, I guess any Breeders' Cup win is special. I mean, how could it not be? But how extra special was this one? After all, again, as we said earlier, California Chrome was an iconic horse and still is, and not many people thought he was beatable. So when you look at all your many Breeders' Cup moments, how special is this one, and where does it rank?
Oh, it ranks way up there, Bill, just because when it's all said and done, I mean, this might be a horse that we hadn't seen in a while, man. If ever, I mean, here's a three-year-old, lightly raced, just beat the greatest horse in America with room to grow. I mean, I don't know if you watched him after the race, but he literally had a little pep in his step coming back after the race. And he's supposed to be hanging his head and blowing, you know. Next morning, I went by the barn, and, man, he was nickering for carrots and wasn't lying down. I mean, I don't know where he gets it from, but he's got some air.
And Mike, you sort of already touched on this, but I wanted to get you to elaborate on it. And I know you've only ridden him two times, whereas many of the great horses you've ridden in your career, like Zenyatta and Songbird and Lore, you rode many and many times. So maybe it's a hard question to answer at this point. But two races in, you know, where can you rank Arrogate among the great horses you have ridden?
Well, again, that's a really hard question to answer. I mean, only been on him twice, but God, I don't think you could have two better performances from a horse, or you could ask for two better points. Like I said, he's only run six times, and he's already on top of the leaderboard for the world's best horse. So he's just he does things that aren't real.
Well, that's certainly something to be said for that. That's one good way to put it. He did something that was unreal. Now, to Mike, to those of us who like to bet on the races, when we looked at the race, the Breeders' Cup Classic, at the 3/8 poll, I would not have betted Arrogate at 100-1. And I think a lot of people felt the same way. It looked like California Chrome was cruising. He was alone on the lead, and Arrogate wasn't making up much ground. Let's listen into that portion of the race.
Arrogate is now 3.5 lengths off of his foe California Chrome, who has led every step of the way so far. Around the far turn, 3/4 up in 1:10-4, it has picked up a bit, and Victor Espinosa and California Chrome have a 2.5 length lead, and Mike Smith lets Arrogate loose, and here he comes. He's going to try to make a race of it.
And once again, Mike, as you recall that part of the race, roughly around the 3/8 pole, maybe coming to the quarter pole, again, you'd have a better feeling for it than me, than announcer Larry Colmus, or really anybody. But what were you thinking when Victor Espinosa kind of opened up on you, and were you starting to lose hope at all?
You know, really, it might have looked that way, Bill, but I really wasn't. That's California Chrome in front of me, so I knew he was going to give me another, you know, another gear and spurt away from me heading for home. But this horse is relentless. I mean, his stride is incredible, and he just keeps coming at you. He doesn't stop. And I learned something about him in the Travers when I was having to ride around the turn a little bit. I thought, well, man, I don't know if there's much here. But when I reached back and gave him a reminder left-handed, I mean, he really took off in the Travers that day. So I knew that if he did that again, I had another good gear to come at him. And he did. When we headed for home and I got into him just a little bit left-handed, I mean, he dropped another gear. And I said, oh, that's when I knew I had a really good chance of catching him.
And Mike, not that you ride too many bad races at any time in any place, but you're now becoming this, what they call the big money rider, this ability to win the big ones. And is it just a coincidence, or do you somehow ride just a little bit better or with a little bit more confidence when the big money is indeed on the line? I guess the question is, what makes you so good in the big events? What has made Mike Smith big money Mike Smith?
Just the experience, I guess, Bill, having, such a great opportunity most of my career to be surrounded around great trainers and great people and riding great horses. You learn to, you know, how to handle high-pressure situations, and you learn how to ride a good horse. A good horse isn't like riding your everyday kind of horse. A good horse, man, you want to really capitalize on what they're really good at. You stay out of their way a whole lot of times, and just keep your head on your shoulders and think, you know, and ride a good race. Know what's going on around you. Feel the pace. Understand your competition, who they are, what their strengths and weaknesses are, and all that adds up with time, I guess, you know. Whatever it is, I'm just blessed.
Though it was his fifth career start, Arrogate's career really began August 27th in the Travers, where as a little-known horse who was the second choice among the two Bob Baffert horses in the race and had done really nothing more than win a pair of allowance races, came to Saratoga Springs and stunned the racing world with a 13.5 length win in the Travers. Listen in.
Arrogate and American Freedom will turn for home. These stablemates are 1-2 here in the Travers. Gunrunner is third, Connect is fourth, Gift Box is next. Exaggerator is coming wide as they come to the top of the stretch. It is Arrowgate and Mike Smith. Oh, they've opened up a six-length lead here with one furlong to run. They've left the field reeling behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12. Oh, what a race he ran today in a final.
Now, Mike, that was the first time you had rode him in a race. So, you know, maybe you had heard some whispers from Bob around the barn. But were you just as stunned as everybody else when it comes to not just Arrowgate winning, but the way he won? And again, a performance that was nothing short of phenomenal.
Oh, I would be lying if I said I wasn't stunned. I mean, how could you not be in saying that, though? I knew they thought a lot of this horse early on. He's coming into the race really, really good. And Bob always felt that this was his best three-year-old in the barn. Again, you know, being lightly raced, you never expect a performance like that. So being down in the one hole, some things got to go right for you. And everything just went right. And like I said, when I called on him, man, I mean, he just, as you saw in that clip, I mean, he just opened up and won with what I felt was room to spare. So going into the Travers, I was confident that he belonged. It was just a matter of if I could run Cone down or not.
And, Mike, one of the after stories of the Travers was the whole situation with the jockeys. And I've never really quite understood the story. Rafael Bejarano was riding Arrowgate. Now, again, Baffert had two horses in the race. And, you know, again, a lot of success for jockeys is luck, being in the right place in the right time. So how did it come to be that Bejarano went with American Freedom and you wound up on Arrowgate? Is there more to the story than what we know?
No, I mean, I think it's been pretty much said. I mean, just find out the whole story, you know, fact to fact, would be, you have to talk to Bob, but, you know, I had been riding Dre Fong, so he was going to run the same afternoon. But then I think Bejarano was actually going to ride him if he only ran one. But if he ran two, I was going to ride the other one, and I got to stay on Dre Fong. So it just worked out where I guess they wanted him on American Freedom. I mean, he went in the favorite, so it wasn't like he went in just a horse, you know. I mean, he went in with some pretty high credentials, higher than Arrowgate, actually. So I'm not too sure exactly what made that happen, but yeah, he was definitely Ralphie's horse. I mean, he was riding both of them. He just had to ride the other one for whatever reason. And again, I was blessed enough to pick him up and get to stay on Dre Fong.
The Breeders' Cup wasn't all perfect for Big Money Mike Smith. We'll look at the Breeders' Cup distaff after we return from this message from our sponsor, TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing, has sold more Grade 1 winners and more Breeders' Cup champions than any other agency of its kind. At the upcoming November sales, TaylorMade will offer buyers like you the chance to take home a selection of 42 graded stakes winners, 11 Grade 1 winners or producers, and the foundations for countless future stars. Visit our consignments at the upcoming Fasig Tipton and Keeneland sales.
Come toward the top of the stretch. I'm a Cheddarbox trying to cling to them. Stellar Wind's got work to do. Songbird and Beholder. And they're into the stretch. And here we go. Songbird set down. Beholder is alongside. Forever Unbridled is 2.5 lengths behind them. Furlong to run. Songbird, Beholder. They are nose to nose. This race living up to its expected power as they come to the wire. They're noses apart. Beholder! I think she got her head down on the wire. Songbird, Duggan, Gambling all the way. The two of them right together.
Mike, you've never hid the fact that you had a special place in your heart for Songbird and a lot of affection for her, how special she is to you. Got to ask the obvious question. How much did that one hurt?
You know, as bad as it hurt, I was still beaming with pride. Wow, what a race she ran. It was just too bad someone had to come up on the losing end, because in my book they both ran winning races. I just didn't finish in front of him, you know. But I think she proved it, how good she truly is. I mean, I kind of felt, you know, the Pacific Classic and that race there was Beholder's two best races of her career, and you're talking about a three-time champion. I mean, so although it was painful, I was still so proud of her for the way she ran. I was going in that day, too, hoping the track would be a whole lot faster. You know, well, it would certainly help us on being the speed of the race and everything. But it wasn't. But in saying that, I mean, we all had to run over it, and she ran probably harder than she's ever ran. I mean, I think she probably got a higher number than she ever has. And although, like I said, we lost, I didn't feel like there was a loser in that race.
Now, you might have said the same thing after the 2010 Breeders' Cup Classic, where Zenyatta, again, ran her eyeballs out but just got beat. So now you've been on the losing end of two of the greatest fillies or mares that have ever run, ending their losing streaks in the Breeders' Cup. Did anything about this year's Classic remind you of the 2010, excuse me, this year's Distaff remind you or bring back memories of Zenyatta? Did you sort of have a deja vu moment?
Not really. You know, Bill, I really didn't. Again, I felt that she ran a winning race. I just didn't come up on the winning end in the photo, but she ran, incredibly well. I mean, she ran as good as a horse could possibly run, and like I said, just came up on a losing end. But, again, she's a three-year-old going against older horses. I know she's going to get some time and come back as a four-year-old, and who knows, maybe even come back a little bit bigger and stronger, so... I'm excited about the future with her, whereas with Zenyatta, that was it. That was the last race, so I didn't get a chance to redeem ourselves, you know, and that's what hurt more than anything. But again, in losing that race, I mean, wow, what a race she ran. Only the great Zenyatta could have still ran second, beating a nose after, you know, being back so far and having to make up all that ground.
Now, Mike, as you said, Songbird, that's the good news. She'll be back next year at four. Beholder has been retired. There'll certainly be some good fillies around, but her 2017 campaign could be just absolutely spectacular. So a couple questions here, and you've already answered some of them, but I want to stay on this subject. What do you think she can accomplish next year? And as long as she doesn't have to run against Arrowgate, which would that put you in a little bit of a predicament. Is it time for her? I know it's not up to you. It's up to Mr. Porter and Mr. Hollendorfer. But how much are you looking forward to her running against males? Is it time for her to step up and try that?
You know, that's up to Mr. Porter and everyone with her. I mean, I'm just happy that I get to be the pilot, you know, and get to sit on her back. And there's so many great filly mare races around the country now. I mean, you don't really necessarily have to step up with them. But, I mean, if you did, I think she's proven that she certainly belongs and she can compete with them. I think she showed that in the Distaff if they decide to go at some point and run against them. But I'm just happy that she's coming back, and I think it's great for racing to have her around again another year. And there's nothing wrong with racing against your own sex. So.
Well, we'll find out about that, of course, next year. It is interesting that Rick Porter has said that he is interested in racing against males in 2017. Well, the man they call now Big Money Mike also came through in this year's Filly and Mayor Sprint and the Dirt Mile in the Breeders' Cup.
On the outside of Finest City, and it's down to these two. Finest City digs in. Wimble Avenue can't get by. Mike Smith does it with Finest City. Dortmund tries to battle on. One furlong to run. Gunrunner Tamar Coos on the outside. Tamar Coos has taken the lead, and Tamar Coos will win it going away.
And Mike, those were wins 23 and 24 in your Breeders' Cup history. Arrowgate made it 25. That is an absolutely astronomical number. And as I mentioned earlier, you're so far ahead of the competition and ahead of a great rider in second place in Jerry Bailey. How proud of that achievement are you? And if you look at it collectively as a body of work, would you go so far as to say that is your greatest accomplishment in the sport, to be far and away the leading rider in the history of the Breeders' Cup?
I would have to say so, Bill. By the way, I'm loving the show this morning, man. You've got me back thinking it's Breeders' Cup Day. I'm all pumped up. I want to go another round here.
Okay.
But I would have to say it is, because, you know, it started way back when, you know, with my first one with Lure. And this, I can just see myself in each and every one of them, where I was that year and what was going on in my life. And then, so yeah, I'm very, very proud of this, this Breeders' Cup record. I don't know how many more years I'm going to ride, but I'd like to get it up there as high as I can and then just sit back and watch someone catch me one day, I guess, you know. But but for right now, it's just, it's pretty cool to have your name on top in the Breeders' Cup when it comes to Breeders' Cup.
Well, that might be, and I'm sure you're going to add to it, it might be a record that never gets broken. Mike, how's your run going? How you holding up? How's the stamina right now?
Well, I stopped and started listening to them races, and I was jumping, started just jumping in place.
Okay. Well, that certainly probably makes the run easier to listen to all those great highlights of a couple weeks ago. Come next year's Breeders' Cup, Mike Smith will be 52 years old. Yet with his reputation and his mounts like Songbird and Arrogate, there's every chance that, as we mentioned earlier, that 25 win total is going to grow. After this message from TaylorMade, we'll look at Smith's past and his future.
At TaylorMade, buyers have found more Greatwood winners, more graded stakes winners, and more Breeders' Cup champions than any other sales agency in the world. What will you find at TaylorMade?
Mike, you weren't always the grizzled veteran that you are now, and people forget this, but you actually rode in your first Kentucky Derby in 1984 at the age of 18, finishing sixth aboard a Shug McGahee horse named Pine Circle. And it's almost the flip side of what your career has become now, as you're the old wily veteran. What was that like to be riding in a Kentucky Derby as just a kid of 18 years old?
Oh, it was incredible. I spent most of the afternoon before the race in the bathroom, to be honest with you, just so nervous and just hanging around there because nervous, you just keep going back and forth to the bathroom, you know. But, I mean, it was such a, you know, I learned a lot at such a young age, getting the opportunity to ride for, you know, great trainers like Shug and again, in these high-pressure situations. And, you know, it's nothing like experience in these kind of races because they are different. I don't care how many times someone will tell you, ah, it's just another race. Well, the racing part is, but the energy, the nervousness about it, the pressure about winning those kind of races aren't the same. They're much greater. So the more you can have some experience in those types of situations, I think the better off you are.
Mike, you grew up in New Mexico. Your father was a jockey, and you've told the story before of your first memories of the Kentucky Derby from sitting at home as a kid in New Mexico. When was that? What do you remember? And did it ever cross your mind as you're sitting, I don't know if you were 6 years old, 7 years old, or whatnot, that, you know what, someday I'm going to do this too. I'm going to win that race, the Kentucky Derby. Take us back to that time and your first experience or your first memories of watching a Derby.
Yeah, just very young, you know, I can't remember the exact age, 12 or something like that. I just, you know, riding quarter horses. I grew up around quarter horses and watching the Derby that year, Secretariat won it on TV. I don't know, man, just little fire in me. I wanted to ride thoroughbreds instead of quarter horses and just really started working at it from that moment on, it seemed like. And I mean, God's blessed me, you know, so many times. And you know, when you want something so bad, it doesn't seem like work. So, you know, you just work so hard, but it's just so fun because you keep achieving things and you're really enjoying what you're doing, that it's been a, you know, unbelievable, fun, great ride for me.
And I bet it has. And Mike, so now let's fast forward all these many years later, and people will argue that at age 51, you're riding better than you did at, say, age 31. Do you agree with that? And, well, maybe we already know the answer because you're out there jogging, doing an interview at the same time, which is pretty cool in and of itself. But what are you doing to stay so good at, you know, pretty ripe old age of 51?
Well, I got, if I'm riding better, I mean, I'm certainly not as agile as I used to be. I mean, but I'm certainly a whole lot smarter than I was then. I, like I said, just getting the opportunity to be in these kind of situations over and over again, you just keep learning and you keep getting better at it. And I got lucky when I was young that I got into physical fitness, Bill, and I did it, started in my 20s, and I've been going, just made it a way of life. And I tell you what, it's it helps you with longevity. I mean, it without a doubt, there is no doubt. I mean, I still can go into the gym and lift as much now, if not more, than when I was, you know, in my late 20s or early 30s. I can run farther than I used to run. I can just do so much more than I used to could do at a young age that I think it's helped me in my career. I know it has.
And Mike, the way you're going, there's absolutely no reason for you to consider retiring anytime soon. But in any way, shape, or form, do you have a plan? Do you have a date? Do you have a goal? I'm going to ride, say, till I'm 60 or anything like that. Is it anything you've given any thought to?
Whenever I do, it just kind of scares me, to be honest with you, Bill. So I don't think about it much. I guess, you know, only time will tell me when it's time to stop. You know, when I start feeling that I'm not helping and I'm starting to hurt them, or I have my family and friends around me telling me, hey, buddy, you ain't what you used to be. It's time to hang it up. And then maybe I'll start thinking about it. But, man, I'm so blessed to be riding for so many great people and getting opportunities to ride for Jerry Hollendorfer, Bob Baffert out here. Billy Mott sends horses out to me. And, I mean, just getting a chance to ride for so many wonderful, wonderful people. Got to win a Breeders' Cup for Kerry McLaughlin the other day. I mean, hey. It's incredible. When I stop getting these kind of opportunities, well, then I'm pretty spoiled. So I'm sure I'll know it's time to quit pretty fast. You know, but as long as I'm getting these opportunities, well, I'm going to make the most of them, and I'm going to be in the best shape that I can possibly be in, so that I can, you know, put forth 110% and you know, ride the kind of race that these owners and trainers deserve. You know.
Certainly makes sense. Mike, you and I have known each other a long time, and I think maybe I've got an answer to why you've done so well is that you always seem to be in a good mood. You're always happy. You're good with the media. You're good with the fans. You always have a smile on your face. And so I'm going to ask you two questions. Just like, how do you manage to stay so good at 51? How do you manage to just be in a good mood all the time? And does anything ever get you pissed off?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
You know, but I'm a very, like I said, a very blessed guy, a very spiritual guy. And believe in God, and I'm just so blessed. You know, I'm happy for the opportunities that I've gotten. You know, you see great athletes as you grow up, and you see them handling the wins extremely well. Everyone kind of seems to handle those well, but the ones that always kind of got my attention were the guys that got beat and how they handled it. And so you got to be a humble winner, a gracious loser, man, and just keep smiling. And there's nothing like a smile, man. It makes people think you're doing good, even if you're not.
Well, you didn't answer the second half of my question. Anything ever get you? What does it take to get you to be in a bad mood? What's something that bugs you?
Oh, man, that's hard to say. You know, I'm a pretty low-tempered kind of guy. There's not a whole lot that really gets me too upset anymore. Maybe when I was younger, but again, you learn that a lot of things that get you upset really don't mean anything. If you just give it 5 minutes, you probably forgot about most of it. So I just try and give it that 5 minutes before I blow up.
Well, that's a wonderful way of looking at it. Going back to the Breeders' Cup distaff, one of the more also remarkable aspects of that race was your competitor in the saddle. And what kind of relationship do you have with Gary Stevens? You are the two graybeards that keep winning big races. You guys certainly have a lot in common. You're both Hall of Famers. You're both great jockeys. You're of comparable ages. And you really stand alone among not only the Southern California riding group, but really in all of American racing as these two guys that are doing so well at this age. What's your rapport with Gary, and do you guys, you know, share some stories together?
Oh, yeah, Bill. Me and Gary have been close, man, since I was in my 20s. As a matter of fact, he came to my wedding when I got married in Arkansas. We've been very, very close for a long time. We're more like family. And for some odd reason, man, we just feed off each other. Well, you know, one will do this, and it makes the other one want to do something even better. Then that one would do that, and then it makes the other one want to do it. We just keep pushing each other along the way as we go, and then when it's all said and done at the end of the day, man, we can sit down and have a glass of wine together and discuss the whole you know, the whole story, the whole situation that we went through together, and it's great having him around. I was out here before he had retired for that 7 years, and was having so much fun riding with him. I missed him so much when he was gone. I told him when he came back, he just revitalized my career again. It's made me want to go even more.
Mike, you've won every Triple Crown race. You've won, of course, as we've discussed this morning, 25 Breeders' Cup races. I can't think of a major race that you've never won. You're in the Hall of Fame. And one of the things that keeps older athletes going are goals. What on earth is left? What, when you wake up in the morning, is there anything in particular you say, I'd still like to do this, or I'd still like to do that?
I still want to ride every race I ride. Good. Really good. Go home happy that I gave 110%. I'd like to add another few Triple Crown races onto my list. That would be amazing, and maybe 10 more Breeders' Cups, and then that'll probably be your career.
Well, that would be some career if you could make it up to 35 Breeders' Cup wins. But Mike, the way you've been accomplishing things in the Breeders' Cup, we're not going to put that past you. Mike, I want to thank you so much for your time taking out. I want to thank TaylorMade for making this Thoroughbred Daily News podcast possible. And I hope you had a hell of a run, not just in the Breeders' Cup, but this morning on your jog at Del Mar. Mike, you're the best. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Bill, and thank TaylorMade. I appreciate it.